Hi, I'm at the Open NMS. That's Mike. No, that's not. It's Open November Mike Sierra booth, and I'm talking to
Taurus Balog.
And I hear that you know about HPR.
I do know about Hacker Raider, Public Raider.
Been around as some boots in the past.
I have some t-shirts. I would have worn one had I known you guys were going to be here. So.
I've given you a t-shirt because I've got no t-shirts.
T-shirt? You don't know the right people. So we trade swag, so maybe that works.
That's it. Good. Enterprises is alive and well. So what is Open NMS?
It's funny. It's sometimes hard to say. Open NMS is a network management application platform that is 100% open source.
By open source license, we mean?
We're AGPL for the most part. We do have some Apache code. So like if we write libraries, et cetera, we tend to publish those under permissive licenses. But since we're a small organization, we're always worried. In our past, we did have someone take our code and make a product out of it and sell it in violation of the license. And if it was a permissively licensed product, they would have had free right to do that. And we spent 15 years building this product, so we don't really like it. You know, we offer it for free, but we don't want someone commercializing it for free. So, and what OpenNMS is targeting is scalability. We would like to be the platform for the Internet of Things. If you think about it, it's like one of our customers is monitoring over 100,000 devices, and they're in a hospitality business. So they provide internet to about 2,000 hotels in Europe. And you think about it, with 100,000 devices now, what's going to happen in the future? Let's say I have a room. I might have 10 devices. I might have a door lock. I might have a refrigerator. I might have a set-top box, a thermostat, a water heater. Let's say I have 10 devices, and I want 10 metrics from each one of those. So 100 metrics per room, 200 rooms per hotel. You know, now I'm at 20,000 metrics. Multiply that times 2,000, and you're looking like 40 million metrics. And so we need a platform that can scale to that ability. And a lot of open source projects started when a guy had an itch to scratch. And so he writes a Perl script, and someone goes, oh, that's really cool, and can you do this? And they change it to monitor, say, 10 devices. And then it breaks, and so they rewrite it in a different language, and it grows. We started out from day one aiming to be hundreds of thousands, if not unlimited, devices. And so one of the things we're proud to... we're going to be proud to introduce is in the next release of OpenNMS Horizon, version 19, which was supposed to be released before today. It'll be next week or the week after, promise. It includes support for this new functionality we call Minion. And it's the ability of putting a lightweight agent out on remote locations and then feeding all that information to a centralized OpenNMS server. We have a large pizza chain, who shall remain nameless in the United States, who uses our code. They sell over $1 billion worth of pizza a year online. And all of that is headquartered in Louisville, Kentucky. But they need, so the orders go there, but they need to talk to their 4,000 stores. So there's a little piece of OpenNMS code in every one of those stores. Now we've beefed that up into the Minion, and the idea is to be able to go out and if you had multiple 10 networks, say, you can aggregate them together all in one location because we've added location information and things like that. Plus, at the local level, you can determine what's important and what's not and only forward the important things up to the centralized OpenNMS instance.
So what exactly do I get?
Okay, so the term NMS, Network Management System, I'm old. And so in the olden days, that was what you used to monitor your network. And there was a very formal definition. And then as the industry grew, it was like, well, network management means routers and switches. And application management means you got server management. In this case, network management means network as my father, who's 77, defines it, which is anything on the other side of a keyboard. He'll call me up and says, the internet's down. And I'll go, well, how do you know? And he says, well, I can't get to my mail. I said, well, can you do a Google search? And he's like, well, yeah. I'm sorry, the network's not down. Restart your client. Because for some reason or another, once a month, his client hangs. And so we monitor the entire stack, all 10 levels. So you've got 1 through 7, including economics, politics, and religion. So we do the top three as well. But the idea is, so you get event management is the core. So we get traps. You can send events into OpenNMS, syslog, TL1, pretty much anything that's an event source, you can send it into OpenNMS. We can do automations on it. We can do correlation. One of the things we do is event reduction, which means if you get a lot of duplicate events that you define as, hey, like a lot of devices, if they're overheating, they'll spam you with messages. Like every 15 seconds, they'll go, I'm overheating, I'm overheating. Well, instead of having, you know, 600 of those in a browser, you have one alarm that says, this has happened 600 times. The next thing we do is performance data collection. So your people listening can't see this, but we
I'll include a photo in the show notes.
So we have an integration with Grafana, where we can take all this data that we collect and put it out on a platform, on a screen that you can see. And we used to base it on R&D tool, like a lot of products do, but we recently ended up doing an integration called Newts. So we wrote a time series database on top of Apache Cassandra. And I've seen tests where we are easily able to get 60,000 updates a second. So we're monitoring, you know, 2 million, 3 million data points. And the technology is such, if you need more, you just build the cluster out bigger. So we can store unlimited data there. The third thing we do is service monitoring. So we go out and, you know, can we ping a device? Can we connect to a port and make sure something's listening? All the way up to, we have an integration with Selenium. So if you're using Selenium to test your web app, you can plug the Selenium XML file that gets created directly into OpenNMS, and it will periodically run that for you. And the fourth piece, which everyone forgets, is provisioning. The provisioning part of OpenNMS is, if you're monitoring a million devices, you're not going to do that with auto discovery. You're not going to say, okay, go ping this IPv6 range and find these devices. So we have a strong REST API for getting information from an external inventory system so that they can easily update, change, do adds, moves, and deletes from their central systems. And a lot of companies do not focus on that when they're talking about provisioning.
So what's you mentioned some of the new stuff that's coming out. Anything else that we should be aware of?
One of the things that we're experimenting with is, you know, so our business model is very strange. There's a .com behind OpenNMS, but we have no outside investment. Our business model is called spend less money than you earn. It's crazy, I know. I mean, we're huge failures in Silicon Valley because we make money. But we've been around for 15 years because of our philosophy. So we're always interested, how can we stay true to being a 100% open source company, yet feed people? Because I have employees who rely on us to pay their mortgages. So we're thinking about offering OpenNMS as a service. So this minion technology that I was telling you about, you could buy a minion, stick it on your network, and then go to a cloud-hosted instance of OpenNMS. We already have a proof of concept built on Kubernetes. So what happens is we have a little broker. When you log in, it spins up your own little instance of OpenNMS, and you go and you talk from your minion, which is on your network, over, of course, a secure connection, into this cloud-hosted OpenNMS, and we manage the backups, the upgrades, the configuration, and everything like that. Now, the problem is we need to improve how users interact. Because right now, as a company, our big customers pay us to make OpenNMS more powerful, not easier to use. And so that's why they insist on this heavy REST API, because sometimes they don't even look at the GUI. They just make queries. And they're like, okay, what are my alarms? Here's a query. Oh, I want to update the server. Here's a push, you know, a post, excuse me. And I've been in four countries in the last 5 days. And I'm forgetting what language to speak. So we're thinking that, hey, you can go to OZ, OpenNMS as a service, and you can run it. And if you choose, you press a button, we export all of your data to a XML file, and then you load it up on your own server. So you don't get the lock-in that a proprietary solution. I mean, to me, network monitoring is only going to become more and more important. As more and more devices get stuck on the internet, you're going to have your refrigerator and things like that. And you don't want to be locked into a proprietary solution, because they can always just twist it to you. What if they decide to charge you, you know, $1 a month per data point? And you've got 40 million data points. Well, that's a lot of money.
So as a business, I could just take your code and run it on my thing and never contact you.
Right. I'm at FOSDEM. I'm not really expecting to gain too many customers at FOSDEM. I want to gain users. I mean, some people apologize that they don't give us any money, and I'm like, no, this is our philosophy. We want to do this. But for larger customers, we do provide support and other services, and they're happy with those as well. And so, but yes, you are free. We do publish under the Affero GPL, so there are some limitations if you want to integrate OpenNMS into a system. But for use, we don't. It's fully free for everybody, and we believe strongly in that. As you're from the U.S., I assume, and you're not
Ireland.
Okay, I apologize.
It's fine,
but
with what Donald Trump decides to do tomorrow.
Yeah, well, your accent isn't very strong, so I've been to Ireland a couple of times. So Dublin and Doolin. So I've been on both sides. In the United States, you'll go to a conference, and open source doesn't mean what it means here. You know, and they'll say, well, we're not free software, we're open source. You can see the source code. And I have to scream at them. I'm like, look, like with Mr. Trump, we have to decide on what words mean. And to me, if you say open source, it means you meet the open source definition as published by the OSI. They don't see it that way. And we call that open core. Actually, what I call it is FOPEN source. We actually have a FAUXPENsource.org website with the FOPEN source definition. And we're not for that. I mean, we have found that you can make money, you can survive, you can grow without having to charge people for software.
However, I've found this, from a personal point of view, the advocacy of free and open source software is actually easier if there's a bill and there's a maintenance contract.
Yeah.
They don't actually care. It's actually easier if you come in with a company and go, well, you know, this is a better solution, and they're more expensive, also free and software.
Well,
yeah. It's not a factor. It's actually easier to get it because you look like a professional organization. This is a professional business.
Yeah. And we publish all of our prices online, and we productize our offerings, and so you can call up and order various things. But I found in this business, I mean, I didn't start out as a freetard. You know, now I run open source. I run Linux on my desktop. I run Linux on my router. I run Copperhead OS on my phone, which only has FDroid.
It all starts with Firefox, and then it just grows.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I am a big advocate. But when I talk to people, I say, look, it makes business sense. If you're a business, your special sauce, your magic is in how the processes you've created to deal with your customers. When you go out and choose these enterprise tools, you quite often have to fit your processes. My wife works in a hospital, and they just ended up introducing this huge system called Epic. And they had to redo every single thing they did to fit the system. And I'm like, if you're in a business that's competitive, what makes you special is your processes. So if you go with open source, you can fit the solution to your business. We have large customers who come to us and say, hey, you know, can we do this? And we write features for them just to fit OpenNMS into their environment. And then as part of the process, we open source that. So a lot of OpenNMS growth has been funded by companies who have a certain feature they want, and surprise, everybody else wants that feature too.
But do they not have a problem with the fact that that becomes, we paid for that, and that becomes...
So I get that all the time, and the way I sell it is the same story I just told you. I'm like, look, if you're basing your competitive advantage on what tools you use, you're defeated anyway. And so let's say a feature costs $50,000. And I say, if it isn't worth $50,000 to your bottom line, you shouldn't do it. You know, forget who else shares. And plus, we're going to make that feature exactly as you want it, which may not be the way the rest of the world wants. So we'll make it the way you want it, and if we need to change it for the rest of the world, we'll add some options. So you get to determine, you personally get to determine the direction of the feature. It fits you, you get it first, you know, and most people are okay with that. Once you explain to them, I'm like, look, if it's not worth what it costs, period, then you shouldn't do it.
It seems incredibly logical to me, but then again, I'm here.
Yeah, it does, and it's surprising in the fact that everyone thinks that open source and free software is, and it has this huge range, that we've got this rainbow of people involved in it. We've got the kind of anarchist, freedom-loving people, and then we've got just business people, and it makes sense. If you've ever had to pay a maintenance contract year over year over year, or a subscription fee year over year over year that you weren't getting value out of, but you had already locked yourself into it, you understand. And with open source, I mean, the thing I love about running an open source desktop is that I'll need an app. Usually I have three choices. You know, and if one doesn't, if I'm using Shotwell and I don't like it, I can use another tool. I don't have to get locked into one thing. And I can't go back. It's like I used to be an Apple fanboy. I was like the biggest Apple fanboy on the planet. Don't Apple fan. But I used to be this Apple fanboy, and now when I go back, I get frustrated. Like recently they updated the mail app and you cannot get GPG to integrate anymore. And the wonderful people with GPG tools are struggling to reverse engineer the changes. Whereas Thunderbird, here's the API. We have an API for that. And that to me is makes it, you know, I can sit here and tell you why I like it, but I like open source because it's just better. And when it comes to OpenNMS, our customers find it's just better.
I'm going to end at that because you can just, that's a perfect ending.